107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. In Nevada today, President Biden will propose new measures aimed at capping rent increases nationwide.
The complaint heard coast to coast, the rent is too high. Up 9% in Las Vegas in the past 3 years, President Biden today visiting that city and expected to call on Congress to pass legislation that would prevent landlords from raising rent by more than 5% each year. Landlords who don't comply could be punished by not receiving federal tax breaks. The proposal would need to be passed by both the House and Senate to take effect. Dave Packer, ABC News.
At the Milwaukee convention, former President Trump was formally nominated for a third time as the Republican Party standard bearer. He chose freshman Ohio Senator J.D. Vance as his running mate. Special counsel Jack Smith to appeal Monday's ruling by a Trump-appointed federal judge that dismissed the entire classified documents case against the former president. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump is in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention after being shot in the ear Saturday at a rally in Pennsylvania. Trump is still planning to deliver a speech at the RNC on Thursday night. However, he told the Washington Examiner that he has completely rewritten his speech after Saturday's events. The Secret Service said in a Sunday briefing that there will be no changes to security plans at the RNC. If you own a well on your property, the DNR says you should test your drinking water after all this rain and flooding. Floodwater and runoff can introduce contaminants to a well that spread waterborne illnesses. Wells located in pits, basements, and low-lying areas are at a higher risk of contamination, according to a DNR press release. More information on testing and decontamination can be found on the Wisconsin DNR website. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The All-Stars come out tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball's 86th All-Star game is tonight. The Brewers' William Contreras will start behind the plate at catcher. In right field is the Crew's Christian Yelich, and was asked, what's it like finally being back to play in the Midsummer Classic?
It's been great. You know, it's obviously a really busy couple days, and you're on the go, and there's things to do throughout the whole day and night.
Today is day three of Major League's baseball draft. The Brewers picking 12 players so far, eight of them pitchers. Brewers GM Matt Arnold asked, while manager Pat Murphy has the team in first place, they've lost seven of their last 10 games.
We've had our share of bumps along the way, but this is a really good group, you know, and I think Murph does an incredible job getting the guys fired up every day. You know, obviously we've gone through a little bit of a rut lately, but this team is really tough and we win in different ways. And I think we've shown that we're in almost every game, like Murph says. And so I'm really proud of the group and excited to see what we can do in the second half.
NBA, the Bucks play the Clippers tonight in summer league action in Las Vegas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday on Up North News Radio, we're joined by Rick Wilson of the Lincoln Project to get convention perspective from Republicans who want their party back.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We could catch an isolated shower at some point later this morning into early this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 78 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, and a lot less humid with a high near 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special edition of the Devil's Advocates live from RNC MKE 2024. Join us at the Kampali Party at 3.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
One more sticky day on the way today before we pivot to moderate temperatures. The good news, we're also staying dry and plenty of sunshine. Just what the doctor ordered for all of our visitors in Wisconsin for the Republican National Convention that seems to be moving smoothly in the Milwaukee area. For county fair activities coming up later this week, this is just gorgeous weather. Sunshine on the way today, like I said, a little sticky, probably around 82 degrees, a little warmer towards the La Crosse area. Then tomorrow, sunshine, temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. We stay dry through the rest of this week. That's good news as well. Like I said, a lot of county fair activities are on the way. Do we not have the coolest job ever bringing you stories like this one? Charity Seebecker is going to be joining us this morning with a whole new twist on what a bugging device is. For a lot of us, if you said that you had a bugging device, it meant you were listening in on calls or something like that. Well, Dr. Emily Bick on the UW-Madison campus has put a whole new spin on that with her insect eavesdropper. Do you believe that you can listen to a bug feeding on a plant and figure out what that bug is and how to deal with it? Yeah, cool story, and Charity found it for us on a Tuesday. And just around the corner, another story of craftsmanship in Wisconsin agribusiness. They're in Hustisford, Wisconsin. Emmett Saddlery, custom-making saddles for everyone from custom bronc riders right on through to a girl from South Central Wisconsin that was paralyzed in a farm accident but still wanted to ride. That story and more just around the corner. Thanks for joining us.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is harnessing the power of data insights to boost demand for Wisconsin dairy products nationwide. Susanna Siege, Director of Market Research for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, emphasizes the significant role that secondary data plays in helping dairy companies across the state make informed decisions.
So we work with over 260 dairy companies across the state that make a whole range of dairy products, from cheese and butter to yogurt, ice cream, sour cream, you name it. And each one of these manufacturers has to make decisions every day about what products to make and where to sell them. So the research that I'm providing to them can help them understand the market so that they are putting the right products on the right shelves in front of the right consumers. That helps them sell more dairy products, which in turn allows them to buy more Wisconsin milk. Now, a lot of the larger manufacturers in the state would have access to this kind of data on their own. So where we can really make a difference is with the smaller and mid-sized companies that wouldn't be able to afford this kind of research on their own. And then this way we can really help them grow their business, which grows the entire Wisconsin dairy industry.
You can learn more about how your dairy checkoff dollars are utilized at wisconsindairy.com.
The cowboy way of life is not for the faint of heart. From ranching cattle in the plains to riding and roping horses, the western side of equine has some serious talent in craftsmanship, especially when it comes to leather work. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Aubrey Schlimgen, and John Reifel is the owner and founder of Emmett Saddlery in Hustisford, Wisconsin, where they specialize in making custom saddlery and leather work. He tells us more about this special craft.
I'm John Raffel. I started doing sneak saddle repairs when we were just young kids because we were rambunctious with buggy horses, with saddle horses, with mules, with pulling teams, and we had a tendency to break them, and our parents did not like that. So I would sneak fix them with the materials I could find until my parents found out, and they do that. Parents find that out. And then they said, okay, Mr. Wise Guy, now you can fix this and you can fix that and you can fix that. And time went on and we started into leathercraft and 4-H fair as 4-Hers. I excelled rapidly. When I became on my own, I come to learn that people would actually pay me to do this. And I thought, that's nice. Okay. And to cut the story short, here we are at Emmett Saddlery, and we are builders to the champions of the world.
So you go from doing little tidbit of fixings here and there with the saddles, and then now you find yourself in the position where you have built things you probably never imagined you would build or repair or clean. So how has that transition been, and how has the years gone by? What are some goals for this company, and how are things been, and what has maybe been your biggest project thus far?
Well, that's quite a question to bite off. The current Emmett Saddlery, we do cleaning, conditioning, repairs, and that's kind of the bread and butter. But everything else we do is custom. We do custom gun leathers. We do custom saddlery. We do other custom items. I don't do anything in the English saddlery type of genre. We do everything as Western saddles. And I guess if I were to say what was my favorite saddle ever, would have been my personal Rodeo Bronc saddle. I built my Bronc saddle, I built my Bronc halter, I built my rodeo chaps and my spurs, and I had the odd distinction, when I wore the clothes of a younger man, to be the only saddle bronc rider in the IPRA, International Professional Rodeo Association, that made all my own gear. And I did not have any idea that building that first Bronc saddle was going to turn into, okay, well, now you need a stock saddle. Now Joe needs a sock saddle. Okay, well, now we need this. Now I need that. So it's come down to the 2000s, and we are building championship Bronc saddles for the world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, and I'm so, so thrilled. And my team is ecstatic that we, in the little burb of Houston's Ford, Wisconsin, are building saddles for champion saddle bronc riders in Montana, where there's a saddle maker every 100 miles. We are thrilled that we get the opportunity to do that.
So how does it feel to be one of the only with, in the distance that I know, of leather work and saddle builders, repairers, cleaners in this area? How does that feel to come from a state of Wisconsin and be one of the only people in this industry, in this area, but to carry on throughout the entire United States? How does that feel?
Oh, well, first of all, there are other saddle workers in Wisconsin, there, and some really good ones, some really good workers. I don't know that they are actually building saddles. One up where one of my coworkers, John Depper, Jeep, we call him Jeep, he's got a friend up there. His name is Brian. He's making saddles. But how does it feel to be the one doing it here in Dodge County? I often joke we're the best saddle makers in Dodge County. And it feels good. And people come that are our neighbors, or, and just they need a small something. Can you fix this for me? Oh, sure. I didn't know there was a leather worker here. Well, I've only been here 30 years or so. So it's a good feeling, and it's a hometown feeling, and it's a real community thing where the people of Houston's Ford, the village and the township, they know me as the saddle guy. And every one of them is supportive. Houston's Ford is such a great, great town and village. It's seriously a real blessing to be where I am, to have the things I am, to have my team, and to have the support. It's really comforting.
So speaking of your team and the people that are all of a part of this, it's not just you. There's other people that are around this shop, that are around this place of Emmett Saddlery. Again, talking to John here, Aubrey Schlumgen with the Midwest Farm Report. There's other people that are part of this. It doesn't take just one person. You can't do all the work by yourself. So tell us a little bit more about the team. Tell us a little bit more about who all is a part of this wonderful, wonderful place.
Okay, that's easy. That's easy. It used to be all me. And I also have to mow the grass. I also have to feed stock. I also have to take care of chickens. I also have to clean the house. I also have to clean up the shop and do other things. And I have good friends. Chuck Starr is one of them, a longtime friend, and very interested in what I'm doing. And he's gradually helping out. Oh, that was kind of fun. Another one, Dylan Strickler, he's from Watertown. He's one of the very newest members. I think he's been working with Emmett Saddlery. He wanted to get into open class leather at the Dodge County Fair. Boom. We got him. We got him by the hook. We got him hooked, and we're pulling him in, and he wants to do more, and he's doing fantastic. My old friend, John Ditburner. It's Jeep. We call him Jeep. Jeep has been around me making saddles for a long, long time. Jeep really likes to be part of the rodeo thing. He was with me when I was rodeoing, and he really likes to be a part of it, and he's got good insights, and he has terrific mechanical ability. The last one right now is Charlie Blood. He's our newest guy here. Jeep actually brought him into the fold. The both of them live in the town of Quincy, and Charlie and Jeep are directly responsible for the success of the saddle that we built for Kay Nelson and Sydney Mell, and that being a special needs saddle. And without those two guys and their, really, to be honest with you, sitting down at the bar, talking about what's going on and drawing pictures on a napkin. And those pictures on a napkin turned into a saddle that made Sydney Mell, a person who needs a special saddle, very, very happy. We gave her her legs back, and we are blessed with the whole bunch.
Could you touch on, lastly, about how Emmett Saddlery came to be? Obviously, Emmett Saddlery has been here, and it's been a part of who you are in this group here, but how did that become Emmett Saddlery? Please tell us about that.
It's kind of simple, actually. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of simple. So we are in the town of Hustisford. We live in Hustisford. And I came from the town of Emmett. And the town of Emmett is where Jeep and I kind of built. It actually, honestly, it was a milk house. It was a milk house. And we transformed it into a small saddle shop. And I just liked the name Emmett so well. It's got kind of a nice ring to it, Emmett Saddlery. So it started in the township of Emmett. It moved only 5 miles to where we are right now, to the township of Hustisford, and it's going to stay Emmett Saddlery. And the dog's name is Emmett. So one lady says, I think it's so clever how you named your shop after your dog. And I thought, well, that's not really how it happened. But that, if that helps you, that's how it started. Emmett Saddlery started in the town of Emmett, which is a township off of the city of Watertown.
That was John Rafel, the owner and founder of Emmett Saddlery in Hustisford, Wisconsin. And one of his hopes to come from this is to be able to make or craft custom saddles for anyone with any need in the future. Because if they could do this for Sydney Mell, then they would be ecstatic to do this for others as well. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there.
Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is day two of the RNC. We're going to have a little update for you on lake sitting, axe throwing, California guy Eric Hovde. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Call it or you can text it. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist joining us this morning for a chit-chat about what's going on with weather. Now, although in the Madison area, things got crazy for just a short period of time, it looked like the brunt of that severe weather went farther south, hitting again Rock County, Jefferson County, maybe even Walworth County. What do you know this morning?
Well, I know it did stay off to the south. I mean, officially by the airport, a whole 200th of an inch at Madison. But then when we look further south, there it is. Elkhorn, 9,800. Sullivan, 3,200 in Jefferson County. And Racine, 4,600. And these are the early reports. I know we'll get bigger ones here in the next half hour to an hour. But a lot more rain stayed close to the Illinois border and further south. A cool front pulling south through Wisconsin helped to drive that rain in. The radar now indicating most of that activity in northern Kansas and down towards southern Illinois, southern Indiana, a little break in Missouri at this time. They'll get some more of that rain here during the day. Not the case here in the Badger State. My expectation is we stay fairly dry. But a little secondary front does try to wedge in, and that secondary front will be a small possibility toward mid and late afternoon further north and late afternoon evening over toward eastern Wisconsin for a slight chance of a scattered shower or a very isolated thunderstorm. It's something we'll see develop if it's going to happen yet later today or into the evening hours, and that should be about the end of it. Something I've been wanting to talk about for the last month or so, a prolonged spell of what appears to be dry weather. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How about that? That's like 5 days, if I counted right, with sunshine and a little cooler temperature, not in the 80s, more likely in the 70s. Believe it or not, a little bit cooler than normal, but I think it's going to sound very fine. Give us a nice break from some pretty wet conditions we've seen so far this whole growing season. I'll check those forecast details right after this.
Get more value out of your farm's high tunnels. Join the Oats Workshop, Sustainable High Tunnel Management, on August 1st in Oak Creek. Learn from farmers and ag professionals about controlling temperature, managing soil fertility, and pests. Tour the high tunnels at Village Farmstead, a USDA organic produce farm, and see demonstrations of tools and techniques used to manage permanent raised beds. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today. Oats science-based organic training for agricultural advisors.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th. Yeah, I'm feeling
good. Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Happy to help promote that event. All right, Stu, I'm loving what I see starting, well, probably later today as far as weather.
Yeah, there's that slight rain chance, Pam, but I don't think we should be too worried. We'll see it pop up, and I think it'll be kind of scattered if we do see it around. And otherwise, during the day, we look forward to some sunshine. You'll find a little patchy fog in a few spots, but a more sunny day with that slight rain chance late afternoon toward evening. Temps still up in the low 80s, maybe some mid-80s in the west today with a northwest wind at 5 to 10. After a little chance of rain, clearing it out overnight. Very upper 50s and low 60s with a northwest breeze. Sunny tomorrow. I like this one. Low and mid 70s. Northwest winds only at 5 to 10. The same for Thursday. Sunny, low to mid 70s. A little north breeze. Sunny, a little warmer. Probably mid and upper 70s for Friday, Pam. But That sounds like some really nice summertime weather, finally.
And dry, comfortable temperatures. We haven't had that kind of conversation, oh my goodness, in weeks, huh?
I know it. And boy, we've got a lot to dry up.
Yeah.
And I know 5 days isn't going to be enough to do it, but let's take it as a win, finally.
Right. All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, bringing you the latest details, brought to you courtesy of our friends of Compure Financial. He's headed towards downtown Milwaukee today. We'll find out more about that coming up tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a win for Wisconsin voters, a more moderate Wisconsin Supreme Court reinstated the use of ballot drop boxes, and a state appellate court upheld a lower court's decision on common sense rules governing absentee ballot witness information. July 5th, Wisconsin's High Court reversed a 2022 decision by a then more conservative court, which said drop boxes were not allowed by the state constitution. The arguments hinged on whether delivering an absentee ballot to a municipal clerk meant handing the ballot to a clerk or using an official drop box. The current court decided that the previous court's opinion was unsound in principle and found that delivering a ballot to a drop box was in fact delivering it to a clerk. A state appeals court affirmed a lower court's ruling July 11th that absentee ballots, which require a witness signature and address in Wisconsin, could be counted if there was missing information, provided the witness and address could still be confirmed. Republican legislators had challenged absentee ballots for which voter information was correct, but witness information lacked a complete address, such as a spouse writing same in the address line. The order will allow more absentee ballots to be counted. As state primaries approach, it's a good time to check your voter registration status with your local election officials. We have the rulings, local reporting, and groups taking action linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. In Nevada today, President Biden will propose new measures aimed at capping rent increases nationwide.
The complaint heard coast to coast, the rent is too high. Up 9% in Las Vegas in the past 3 years, President Biden today visiting that city and expected to call on Congress to pass legislation that would prevent landlords from raising rent by more than 5% each year. Landlords who don't comply could be punished by not receiving federal tax breaks. The proposal would need to be passed by both the House and Senate to take effect. Dave Packer, ABC News.
At the Milwaukee convention, former President Trump was formally nominated for a third time as the Republican Party standard bearer. He chose freshman Ohio Senator J.D. Vance as his running mate. Special counsel Jack Smith to appeal Monday's ruling by a Trump-appointed federal judge that dismissed the entire classified documents case against the former president. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump is in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention after being shot in the ear Saturday at a rally in Pennsylvania. Trump is still planning to deliver a speech at the RNC on Thursday night. However, he told the Washington Examiner that he has completely rewritten his speech after Saturday's events. The Secret Service said in a Sunday briefing that there will be no changes to security plans at the RNC. If you own a well on your property, the DNR says you should test your drinking water after all this rain and flooding. Flood water and runoff can introduce contaminants to a well that spread waterborne illnesses. Wells located in pits, basements, and low-lying areas are at a higher risk of contamination, according to a DNR press release. More information on testing and decontamination can be found on the Wisconsin DNR website. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The All-Stars come out tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball's 86th All-Star game is tonight. The Brewers' William Contreras will start behind the plate at catcher. In right field is the Crew's Christian Yelich, and was asked, what's it like finally being back to play in the Midsummer Classic?
It's been great. You know, it's obviously a really busy couple days, and you're on the go, and there's things to do throughout the whole day and night.
Today is day three of Major League's baseball draft. The Brewers picking 12 players so far, eight of them pitchers. Brewers GM Matt Arnold asked, while manager Pat Murphy has the team in first place, they've lost seven of their last 10 games.
We've had our share of bumps along the way, but this is a really good group, you know, and I think Murph does an incredible job getting the guys fired up every day. You know, obviously we've gone through a little bit of a rut lately, but this team is really tough and we win in different ways, and I think we've shown that we're in almost every game, like Murph says, and so I'm really proud of the group and excited to see what we can do in the second half.
NBA, the Bucks play the Clippers tonight in summer league action in Las Vegas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
Tuesday night, Nightlight will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC. We'll be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where I welcome host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We could catch an isolated shower at some point later this morning into early this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 78 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, and a lot less humid with a high near 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to share a tip I got from Professor Harold Pollack and Helene Olin, who wrote a practical and easy-to-read financial advice book called The Index Card. I really like this book. This isn't one of the book's big lessons. This is just a quick trick that helped Harold go through his monthly expenses and cut back his spending. Here it is. Look at your bank and credit card statements like somebody stole your card. Somebody else is spending your money. I mean, you can understand why this person needs food and gas, but why are they blowing $15 a month of your money on a mobile hotspot that you're pretty sure they never ever use? Is there anything like that you can cancel or cut back on? Boom! That wild spending, card thief version of you just helped you slim down your spending. And that is today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube and take good care.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabidada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Nice day on the way today. A little hotter, 82 our expected high. La Crosse area, you've got a slight chance of showers this afternoon after 3 o'clock, but otherwise we're going to stay dry rest of this week. Tomorrow we get a break on the temperatures, probably only into the mid and upper 70s, and that holds for the rest of this week. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Hey, on the way, Charity Seebecker's got a story about a guitar mic that has turned into insect eavesdropper. Dr. Emily Bick, our university entomologist, doing the research on how sound can help us control insects. Stick around for that one. So today is the 16th day of July. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1941, the Horicon National Wildlife Refuge was established. It was actually established after about a 20-year struggle by conservationists to try to get some of that land dedicated towards environmental preservation. The refuge is over 21,000 acres in scope, considered the largest freshwater cattail marsh in the United States. Started on this day back in 1941. On this day in 1951, The Catcher in the Rye is published, book written by J.D. Salinger, considered one of the top 100 works of fiction in the 20th century. Came out on this day in 1951. Speaking of books, Jeff Bezos sold the first book on Amazon.com on this day in 1995. You know what book it was? Fluid Concepts and Creative Analogies, Computer Models of the Fundamental Mechanisms of Thought. That's the first one that sold on Amazon.com on this day back in 1995. And look at where that's taken us. Happy birthday today to actor-comedian Will Ferrell. He is 57 years young, and now you know. It is wonderful to see a little warm, dry weather in our forecast for the rest of this week, but it's not going to change some of the quality of our crop already growing. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday across Wisconsin, 58% of our corn was rated good to excellent. That's down 4 percentage points in a week. Same situation with soybeans. 56% of that crop called good to excellent, down 4 percentage points in a week. A lot of our Wisconsin crops are just monitoring their situation from week to week. Yesterday, Stephanie Hoff brought us an update on the Wisconsin potato crop. Today, she takes us to cranberry country for an update.
Allison John Jack is the outreach cranberry specialist with the Division of Extension. She says growers have had to stay on top of nutrient application and water levels in their marshes with all the rain that we've been getting. Luckily, she has a favorable outlook on this year's crop. Allison tells us what's happening in the field today.
Cranberries are just moving from bloom into the fruit set and fruit development period. So blossoms, our pollinators have been out and have gotten our berries pollinated. The fruit sets as a pinhead, and now they're growing from pinhead to pea size.
So the pollinator stage, tell me about how that went this year, because there wasn't a whole lot of dry days for our bees and other pollinators to be moving around.
Absolutely. So cranberries are totally reliant on pollinators like bees, whether bumblebees, honeybees, native pollinators. We're totally reliant on pollinators to get the pollen to the fruit and form a fruit. And so we're usually hyper-focused on our pollinators during that blossom season. This year, we did notice fairly sluggish pollinator activity compared to normal, just because pollinators love warm, dry days. and we had relatively few warm, dry days. So we did see less pollinator activity than we usually do. We had a little bit of grace, though, because usually our blossom period happens in maybe under 2 weeks when those plants are in the flower phase. Because our temperatures weren't too hot, the bloom progressed fairly slowly this year, so we actually had flowers open for a longer period of time. So even though there were fewer days when the bees wanted to work, there were more total days. So we were kind of lucky to have the blossoms kind of last unusually long so that those bees could still work them, even on their reduced workload.
So one of the myths about cranberries is that they grow in water. They do not. Water in the flooding process is used to harvest cranberries. But that kind of leads me to want to ask you, like, when we do get large amounts of rainfall, does it hurt the cranberries to be sitting in water?
First, I'll talk about how it would work in the wild if we're back in 1860 and we weren't growing cranberries yet and we're just harvesting wild ones. If it was too wet in a given year, the water standing would kind of suffocate the plant's roots, and so the plant's roots would die back, and you'd probably still get a crop that year, but you wouldn't be able to store enough nutrients to have a very strong crop the next year. So in the 1860s, we would probably finish out a wet year fine with this year's crop, but we would suffer in the following year. Now that we manage our cranberries and take the natural native plant, but are able to kind of manage the water a little bit, we're able to make sure that we keep that good 6-inch root depth dry. And we do that by having our crop elevated a little bit above the water level. So we can raise that water level if we need to, if it's dry or when we need to flood for the harvest or for the winter or for bug protection. But we can otherwise lower that water down and keep our water in our reservoir so that we keep the soil profile at that correct level of enough moisture for the plant, but not so much moisture that the roots suffocate. So luckily now we're able to pretty much manage the water. As long as we still got space in our reservoirs, we're in okay shape in terms of soil moisture just because of our ability to manage that water level.
You mentioned sometimes growers will flood the marsh or the bog for bug protection. Has insect pressure been up in a wet year? Have growers had to use that strategy a lot?
So actually, this year, I think our insect pressure is about average. What we do see a risk of in an extra wet year is more likely to be the pathogens. In terms of insects, we've pretty much done our standard practice, which means some growers will use a bug flood in the spring to kind of basically to make it so that when an insect egg hatches, the bug drowns instead of being able to eat cranberries. We notice when the eggs are about to hatch based on growing degree days or based on sweep nets, and then we can strategically do like a 2-day flood to make sure that those insects do not hatch into a ripe world. They just hatch underwater and die. So that's kind of our normal process, regardless of the weather. In terms of the summer's insects, I think things are pretty much on the standard. We're maybe a little bit slow again just because of the warmth hasn't been there to push those insects through their development phases. So they're hatching maybe a little slower, kind of the same as blossom. Maybe they're emerging across a wider window instead of a very crisp, like these 2 days, everybody's hatching. It might happen over a 5 or 6 day period instead, just because of the slow progression of heat.
Allison Joan-Jack along with us. She's the outreach cranberry specialist with the Division of Extension, working with growers across the state to keep their cranberry crop healthy. The news from the marsh is overall optimistic as growers work to combat the challenges that come with a wet year. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harvextra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Alrighty then, in overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning, currently in Chicago, we've got December new crop corn up 2 at 4.06. November soybeans are unchanged, 10.39 and 3 quarters. September wheat's up a penny and a half, 5.34 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese gained a penny and a half at 1.86 and a half. 40-pound block cheese that dropped 3 cents to 1.86. Double A butter on Monday gained 2.25 cents. That's at 3.12 and a quarter per pound. The fluid milk that goes into cheese for August is up 4 cents right now at 19.73. September class 3 milk up 18 cents, closed at 20.26 a hundredweight. A lot of Wisconsin farmers are frustrated not only with the way their crops look, but with the prices they're looking at in Chicago. Greg McBride, who is a broker analyst with Allenton Company, says you might want to be patient. He said right now you need to keep your eye on what's happening in Chicago and get ready to hopefully catch a weather rally.
Some of the weather situation as we go into pollination could give us a reason to be friendly, but for right now, it's look for these rallies to give you an opportunity to make some sales. I can't give you the exact numbers as far as where to make those sales, but that's I would look for some minor gains over the next week or two to try and get some sales in place as we come off of these most recent lows made here today.
Little advice from Greg McBride, one of the broker analysts with the Allenton Company. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, has a little scheduling adjustment this week. He'll be joining us on Friday. So, coming up next, an interesting story about how sound in a farm field can help us detect the insects attacking our plants. Charity Seebecker's got that one next with Dr. Emily Bick. Stand by.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The Republican National Convention is in Milwaukee, putting Wisconsin in the spotlight. We're there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Republicans' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Join us live this week from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coupe.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Coupe Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we continue live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention. We will discuss the vice presidential pick. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Talked earlier about how the phrase bugging used to mean that you were putting wiretaps on people's phones. Well, today we talk about insect eavesdropper, a whole different type of listening mechanism that literally is designed to listen to bugs. Charity, tell us what you got.
Imagine being able to detect pests on your crops simply by listening to them eat. This groundbreaking concept has become a reality with the introduction of the insect eavesdropper, a tool designed to transform pest management in agriculture. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and UW entomology professor Emily Bick is the co-founder of the insect eavesdropper. And she says that by harnessing the power of sound, this sensor offers farmers a new way to detect and monitor insect pests directly on their crops, providing early detection and precise insights that can significantly enhance crop protection strategies.
It's basically a guitar mic that we clipped onto a plant which had an insect feeding on it. We thought of the idea through a trip actually to a sugarcane plantation in Indonesia. I was working with all of these population models trying to predict when pests show up, just based off of the temperature. And the farmers I was working with out there said, we don't care when the adults show up. We don't care when this prediction happens. We really want to know, are the larvae in the stock? In the state of Wisconsin, this is kind of like a stem borer in soybeans or European corn borer. And we thought, wait a second, we can actually hear or use the plant stem as a way to amplify the sound and actually hear or eavesdrop on insects as they're directly feeding on the crops.
There's a lot of insects out there, and you just mentioned a few. How do you know which sound is which insect even?
Well, we started with the large observable insects, insects that we wouldn't necessarily need the insect eavesdropper for. We tested tobacco hornworm. It's a couple inches long on tobacco plants. And then we tested Colorado potato beetle, once again, large observable. But then we went to the more extreme insects, the insects that are so obnoxious for scouts, for farmers, for crop consultants to figure out is actually there. We tested this with European corn borer. This was a second instar, 11 millimeters, really itty bitty. We had to use actually a wet paintbrush and static electricity to fling this insect onto the stem of the plant. So super, super small. And we were shocked. We could actually hear distinctly that crunch sound as the European corn borer was feeding down that stalk of the corn plant. Then we tested this out on corn rootworms, and we were extremely surprised that we could hear insects feeding underground when this microphone is clipped on a couple inches above ground, kind of at the first node during a V4, V5 corn stage. And then the next stage was kind of bringing this sensor outside, right? So we took the sensor, we put it on top of an existing pesticide study that we basically implied an in-furrow pesticide at different rates and had an untreated control, as in no in-furrow insecticide applied. And we could actually tell the rate of biting was highly correlated to, or highly closely related and predictive of, the number of nodes that had actually been eaten. Now, to figure out if you have corn rootworm in your field, you have to dig the plant, right? Especially the larval stage, which is doing the vast majority of the damage. You dig the plant, you either put it in a bucket, you put it in a malaise trap, you wait till the larva kind of hatches out, dries out, and then you can start to count it, and you can actually tell what that damage is. But this type of sensor allows for that direct detection. So without having to bring your machete or butcher's knife to a cornfield to split a stalk of corn or try to open a cob of corn to see if you have a corn earworm, you could just simply listen. On the regional scale, we have a network of corn plants, a network of cornfields, of soybean fields, of alfalfa fields that we have across the entire United States. And we use this network, we monitor this network, we call them sentinel crops. We monitor them to figure out what diseases, what pests, what pathogens are coming through and are in your region. Now, right now, that requires a lot of manual labor, a lot of manual scouting. And I would think about these in the same way that you think about weather stations, right? Weather comes directly to your door, even though we don't have a weather station right outside of your door, right in your field. In that same way, we could set up a network of these types of sensors where we could then interpolate or kind of estimate back in between the two points what's going on in your field. Another way forward is, it turns out, at least for European corn borer and for northern corn rootworm, which is the two insects we tested this on, we actually figured out that you only need to clip the mic on for about 40 seconds to be 95% confident that you have an insect if it's there. And the big caveat is during the time of day that the insect is feeding. They feed at certain times of day. It's about 4 hours a day. And so if you clip it on during that time of day and you wait 40 seconds, you'll know really easily, do you have that insect? Do you not have that insect? If you scooch that time frame down to 20 seconds, you're only at 90% likelihood of having an insect or not having. So that means what we could do potentially is have this, instead of being a standalone box sensor, we could have this be a phone app where a scout, be it a farmer, a crop consultant, or a paid scouting group, can actually clip a number of these sensors across the cornfield, set them up, wait 20 seconds on the back end, and unclip them, and use your phone app to figure out what's actually going on in your field. And those are the two paths that we're working towards right now.
That's UW entomology professor Emily Big along with us. She added that this tool will help farmers safeguard their crops and ensure better yields, contributing to the sustainability and productivity of agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Pursuit of net zero emissions for the U.S. dairy industry today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
It's year 4 of the 6-year Dairy Soil and Water Regeneration Project, a collaboration between industry, academia, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture that seeks to achieve net zero emissions for dairy producers. Mara Cloutier is with the Soil Health Institute.
We have all these site partners across the U.S., and what we did was we built in experimental treatments that were regionally appropriate. The treatments that we're using in California might not be exactly the same treatments that we're using in Wisconsin, because dairy farming just looks different there.
While the experimental treatments vary regionally, Cloutier says the results are looked at more uniformly.
We are using the same protocols across all of these partner research stations to collect the data. All the soil data, the greenhouse gas emissions data, and the plant data, so yield and quality. So we can make these comparisons across the regions and identify regionally appropriate management systems for farmers to utilize.
The project is designed to do more than just reduce greenhouse gases. It's also pursuing improvements in soil health, water quality, water conservation, and creating more efficient crop nutrient qualities in livestock manure. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday on Up North News Radio, we're joined by Rick Wilson of the Lincoln Project to get convention perspective from Republicans who want their party back.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately.
but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 2 days after...